Good morning to each one of you. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. I feel my real need of prayer here, so let's bow for a short word of prayer. Father, this morning, come before you, Lord. You know my needs, Father. You see my quivering heart here, Father, and we just ask, Lord, that you could be here with us, Lord. Be with me as I share these words, Father. Help them to be from you, Father. We ask that you could bless them and use them in your kingdom, Father. We just thank you for everything you've again done. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm a little scattered this morning, so you'll have to bear with me here. This morning, I'd like to take a look at some commandments that Jesus gave us and how they challenged me, and have some questions and how they apply to our lives. We'll just see how it goes here. So let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 13, start in 13. We'll read to 16. Can see here it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talked about all the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, all the way through there. A lot of things there. Anyhow, we're going to start in verse 13. So I'll start there. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I know we're all familiar with those verses. Maybe even have them memorized, and that's good. But here we see he's giving us a command that we're to be about. We're supposed to be light and salt to the world, a world that is confused and is lost and in darkness and don't know what way is up. And he's commanded us to be in that world. He's put us in that world, and he's commanded us to be light to those people and salt, and that they can see him in our lives, that we can be a representation of Jesus today. We're going to keep moving here. Let's go to Matthew 28, verse 16, and we're going to read through 20. I've got quite a bit of scripture here, so I'm going to try to keep moving. So I'll start reading here. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee in a mount where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here again, we have another commission. Jesus is telling us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's it is here at home, and it is next door, and it's across the country. It's everywhere, all nations. In every creature. And he commands us to do that, and he gives us the strength to do it. It says in the last part of verse 20 there, that lo, I am with you always, even into the ends of the world. And that promise isn't to everybody, but it's to the ones that are obeying the command that's given ahead of that. That promise of lo, I will be with you always, is for the ones that are going to all the world and preaching the gospel. So we're going to keep going here. Let's go to Luke 24, 45 through 49. I hope I don't lose you all with everything I have here. All right, we'll start reading in verse 45, Luke 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. Here again, he says a lot of the same things we just read in Matthew. And specifically, he mentions at Jerusalem here. And the point I wanted to make is it's not like we need to be in a foreign country to be about our Father's business or to be preaching the gospel to the people that we come in contact with. That's for everybody, and it should start at home before it goes abroad. And that is not to minimize in any way work or going to other countries or you know around the world. That is extremely important, and God specifically, and he mentions that in both places, that it's for that as well. But it's also for us here at home, and he gives us a commandment to be about his business and preaching his word everywhere, here at home too. But we should be first doing it here at home and then be doing it going around the world. So I'd like to go to Luke 10. Sorry, I have a lot of verses here. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. We'll be starting in verse 1 and reading down through verse 5. So Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Go your ways. Abide, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoe, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. I'm going to stop there. So I wanted to look at verse 2 first here, and then we'll get on into the rest of it. But he says there's a truly is a great harvest. There's the world is huge, and there's so many people who have never been told once of God's love and his salvation. And there's a huge harvest out there. And I think, again, that harvest is abroad, and it's also at home. Many people, we see throngs of people in these big cities and everywhere, and they have nobody to look at to see an example of what Christ would look like if he was on this earth today, or how he would act, what his actions would be. And that's what we're called to do. It was a great harvest then, and I think it only gets greater. Every year there's more people and less true Christians out there. And I think the harvest only gets greater. So there's a lot of work to be done. I'm going to read two verses here in Matthew 9:37. You don't need to turn there. Matthew 9:37-38. It says a lot the same thing. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And that's essentially the same verses there in a different book, but God has called all of us into his harvest, and he's asking us to be laborers there. We're to be a light on a candlestick and not under a bushel. And that's both here and abroad. Now I'd like to go back to Luke 10 here and take a closer look at what we have going on here. So the first part of verse 10, it says, after these things. So let's jump back and take a look at what was happening before this. So we're going to jump back to Luke 9, verse 57, and we'll read down to chapter 10. So it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said, No man, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." It doesn't give us a lot of room to let anything get between us and God's commandment, does it? Verse 57 and 58, it makes it very clear that we should be spending more time trying to be where God wants us to be than worrying about where we will sleep or what we will eat or what our bodily needs are or whatever that. We should be spending more time worrying about those things, and God will take care of the rest. And I don't want to try to explain everything that's happening there, but we see in verse 59 through 62 that he makes it very clear that his kingdom must be first in our lives. It has to be the first thing, the most important thing in our lives. It has to be. God's word has called every one of us to those things this morning. He is the word of God is we all know what he said and what he says, and so we are accountable, and we're not ignorant in those things. We don't have any excuses. So let's go back to chapter 10 there again, and we'll go start in verse 1 again. So it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face in every city and place whither he himself would come." So we see I don't know if he chose another 70 disciples or he picked 70 of his followers there, and he sent them out ahead of him into different cities. And what I want to catch here, what I want to look at is the way he sent them. So he starts out in verse 3, this is what he told them when he sent them. that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He's telling them to pray for more workers. Verse 3 says, go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. We know that he's using that illustration to show us that we're not violent. We're not supposed to be doing things violently or anything like that. We're like lambs, even though we're among wolves. And then coming to verse 4, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoe, and salute no man by the way. And that's kind of what I wanted to get to. And I think that's where a lot of times we get hung up. We, as Christians here in the States, there's so much freedom, there's so much opportunity, and we have, there's endless opportunities of what we can do, and we get distracted in what we're here on this earth for. Why are we really here? I'm afraid that oftentimes it's our worldly treasures and our worldly treasures that keep us from doing as much of God's work as we should be. And that's what holds us back. We hang on to our positions and our comforts, and that's why we are unwilling to go. And it's also why we don't do more here around home. I'm going to take a look at Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus had heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Here we see this ruler that came to Jesus, and he's asking what he needs to do. But Jesus could see in his heart, and he could see that those treasures and those riches were going to be a problem. They were going to be what's going to hold him up when God asks him to do some hard things. It was going to be hard for him to trust Jesus, because of he couldn't put all his faith in Jesus. He had his own backup plans. It was going to be hard for him to leave and go where God told him to go. So Jesus gave him this challenge. He said, leave all those things and come follow me. And if the rich ruler could have done that, if he really could have done that, those things wouldn't have been a problem for him. He could have followed Jesus, been a disciple, but those things were what was going to hold him up. And Jesus knew ahead of time that those riches were going to be a hindrance in his life. And so if he really wanted to follow Jesus, he was going to have to leave those things to follow him. And I think that was where, it doesn't say that the rich man didn't do it, but it says he left sorrowful. He left sorrowing. God knew that he was willing to do everything God asked, so long as it didn't get between him and his comforts and treasures. What about us? Is that sometimes what happens to us? We're willing to do whatever God asks, so long as it's within our comfort zone, or we don't have to get rid of too much of our treasures. I have a bunch of questions here that came to my mind as I was studying, and I'm asking them to myself along with all of us, and I'd just like for us to think about them as we ask them and apply them to ourselves. And I don't want them to be offensive to anyone, but let's think about it and spend some time pondering and thinking about these things. Let's be 100% honest with ourselves and God. I'm just going to go through some here. How much time do we have for God's kingdom? What percent of our time can He have? Why don't we have more time to do His work? What is our real purpose in life? What would our neighbors say our purpose in life is? As they look on, what do they think? Why are we here? What are we doing in this life? If God told us what He had told the rich ruler, what would we say to Him? What would we do? It's easy to say we are not attached to our possessions. If God would say that to us, you know, we could do that. It's easy to say that. But are we so sure that He hasn't said that to us? Has he asked us, and are we unwilling to hear? Do we have enough faith in God that we could trust Him to take care of us without him having our help? Does God need our help to take care of us? I'm going to read 1 Timothy 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Money is the root of all evil, which will, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And to think about that, how often do we covet other people's? Maybe we don't feel like we're coveting, but are we really wanting, or do we really wish that we had the same things that other people do? And having food and raiment, let us there be with content. Do we have enough faith to trust God to know that if God put us in a position like this, having food and raiment to be content, one, it would be for His glory, and two, for our good? Do we have enough faith to believe that? These questions were a real challenge to me. I'm asking them to myself. But let's think about them. What are we really here on this earth for? Is our goal to have a happy, comfortable life, and maybe to help some other people around us to have a happy, comfortable life? God deserves more than that. Is that the example He left us? Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Is God and His kingdom really top priority in my life? What would our neighbor say? What would he say is top priority in our life? God wants our all, not just what we can comfortably let Him have. Whether that's at home, or whether it's selling what we have and going to the mission field, or whatever it is, God wants it all. Can we sell and move to foreign land if that's what God wants? Are we willing to do that? Or is that just asking too much? We all know the story of Jim Elliot. And the men that were there with him when they were killed, trying to reach a heathen group of natives. But one of Jim's comments, and I'm sure we've all heard it many times, but he said he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And Jim was talking about our possessions. He was talking about the things we have. You know, we're no fool to give what we can't keep in our possessions. But he was also talking about our lives. He wasn't just talking about our possession. He was talking about our lives. Are we willing to give our lives because we can't keep those either? We're willing to give our lives to gain eternal life, something that we can't lose. So that's all I have. I appreciate you all being attentive and listening, and I hope that it can be a blessing to somebody. It was a real challenge to me, and I want to continue to ponder those things and think about them and apply them to my life and see what God has. So God bless you. Thank you.